Our text for this morning is Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. While you're turning there, I'd like to let you know about a couple things coming up. Last year, we had a neighborhood movie night here at the church, and we're doing that again this summer. It is August 18th. That's a Friday night. And we're going to have bouncy houses again. We're going to have the frozen yogurt truck. And we're going to have the movie. The movie is Inside Out. And so there are sign-up seats at the gathering area for you if you are interested and willing in helping to set up and take down after the movie. If you are willing to do that, please sign up and let us know this morning. Also, there are seats at the gathering area for the back-to-school program or the backpack program that we do every year with Love, Inc., so be sure to grab one of those as well. Now, hear the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky soil, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." And then later in verse 18, Jesus explains the parable. He says, "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Last night, during dinner, I was thinking back to when I was a boy of 9 or 10. I was going to say a little boy of 9 or 10, but the truth is I was never very little. But when I was a boy of 9 and 10, we often, in the summertime, would get fresh vegetables from my great-grandfather's garden. And last night, our dinner included sliced tomatoes, sliced cucumbers, and fried okra. And I was thinking back to all those summer evenings when I was a boy, when I had those very items. If we had had fried chicken, it would have been just too much to handle. But we enjoyed all of that bounty from my great-grandfather's garden, and I loved helping my great-grandfather in his garden. I got to hoe. I got to drive the tiller. Now, that was special because I was walking behind this rototiller, and I was pretending that I was riding this massive tractor going up and down rows in a humongous field. I was a real farmer. So I got to help him do a lot in the garden. Have you ever harvested okra? Okra has these little stickers on them, little hairs on them. And if you harvest them and you don't have your skin covered, you're going to end up itching a lot. So I would put on a long sleeve and gloves, and I would go out in long pants, and I would go out and I would help harvest the okra. But I don't recall planting seed in my great-grandfather's garden. Seed, planting seed was probably too precise of a job for someone my age. It required putting the seed at the proper depth. It required putting things in a row. And that was probably beyond my ability. Apparently, my great-grandfather had never took gardening lessons from the Gospels. Because this parable Jesus tells has a gardener going out, a farmer going out and scattering seed wherever. This parable is an important one. It is included in all three of the synoptic gospels. That is, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it is the first parable that Jesus tells in all three gospels. It kind of sets the stage for what Jesus is attempting to do in all the parables that teach about life in his kingdom. In chapter 13 of Matthew alone, this parable precedes seven other parables. Jesus says the kingdom is like a crop that grows alongside of and among weeds. That's important because we tend to think that once we become a Christian, everything is supposed to be easy. Everything is supposed to be a piece of cake. Our lives are supposed to work out, but we know that that is not the case. That life is hard. And the church is dwelling among weeds. It's growing amidst darkness and barrenness. But nevertheless, it is growing. Jesus says that the kingdom is like a mustard seed, which is small but grows into a huge plant, a plant big enough to house all kinds of life. And that's what the kingdom is. It starts small, but it grows and it houses people from all over the place and all walks of life. Jesus says that the kingdom is like yeast that works its way through dough. He says that the kingdom is like a treasure and a pearl that is worth sacrificing everything for. And Jesus says that the kingdom is like a net that pulls in all kinds of fish. All kinds of fish. But it all starts with this parable about the seed and the soils and the sower. Many people who have preached about this parable, who have sought to interpret this parable, think that the real issue here, the real point of the parable is about the soils. That there are some people who will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and it will immediately take root and immediately it would blossom into fruit. But there are others who will hear the word of Jesus Christ and they will take it and believe it, but once the trials and struggles of everyday life come upon them, their interest in the gospel will fall away. Perhaps some will hear the gospel and it will be blown away by wind or taken away by the birds and never make an impact, never be fully planted. Now that interpretation is pretty common, I think, and it's easily verified, isn't it? I mean, we all can picture seed doing just what the parable describes. We can all imagine the gospel taking root in someone's life and having a dramatic change in it immediately and spontaneously. We can all imagine sometimes people will hear the gospel for years and it will never make a difference in their lives. So this interpretation of the parable is verifiable. It's very realistic. Jesus himself experienced what he describes in this parable. After all, the disciples, they followed Jesus for 3 years, but when they were facing a storm, what happened? They grew fearful. And in their fright, they looked away. And their faith was easily snatched away. The religious leaders of Jesus' day wanted to choke the life out of the gospel. They wanted to put some formality and some laws and some regulations to the gospel. In Jesus' own town, he encountered such hearts that had been hardened that they would not listen to him. They would not obey the gospel. He could perform no miracles there because the hearts in Nazareth were hardened. But in some, Jesus found fertile ground. It's the lame and the sick and the oppressed and the poor and the needy all flocked to Jesus. Some desperate to hear him, some desperate to see him, some desperate to touch him, because they understood the power that was in Jesus Christ and the gospel that he preached, the gospel that the kingdom has come and is still yet coming. So maybe when we look at this parable, we're supposed to try to identify different kinds of soils. But I have a problem with that interpretation, because I'll be honest with you. In my own life, I'm all kinds of soil. There are sometimes when I hear the gospel and it takes root in my heart, and I'm grown and nurtured by it. I am thrilled and enthralled with the joy of the gospel and the peace and the comfort that comes with the Holy Spirit. But there are other times when I hear the gospel and the anxieties and the worries and the fears and the trials of everyday life choke it out. There are sometimes when I hear the gospel, and like the seed that has been sown on the path, something comes along and scoops it up, or the wind blows it away. I become distracted by my own selfish ambitions and goals and desires. And I dare say I'm not alone in this. I would not be surprised if some of you aren't many different kinds of soils yourselves. And like me, you're those soils at the same time. So perhaps the thrust of this parable lies elsewhere. Perhaps the parable is about the seed. The sower scatters the seed everywhere, and some of it takes root, and some of it does not. Some are scattered by the wind and eaten by the birds. But let me tell you something. The seed that is scattered by the wind still has a story to tell. That's not the end of the seed. The seed goes someplace else. Perhaps it is planted someplace else. Perhaps it springs to life someplace else. The seed that is scooped up by the bird, its story has not ended. It too has someplace to go. It too has something to do. It too carries power. You know that 28 of us are serving in Guatemala this week. A couple months ago, five of us went to Guatemala for a different trip. It's an urban experience. Most of the time when the larger group goes to Guatemala, they are working out in the rural areas or smaller cities. When the urban trip goes in the spring, we are focused on Guatemala City. And one of the things that we do is we tour the national cemetery. You tour a national cemetery and you can learn a country's history. And that's what we do when we're in the national cemetery in Guatemala City. We learn about Guatemala's history, a history of oppression, a history of injustice, a history of exploitation at the hands of so many more powerful nations. This past May, as we're walking in the cemetery, I notice a flower. Now, what was special about this flower is that it was by itself. It had sprung up from hard-packed soil, and there was nothing but dirt around it, and then cement around that. And I looked at that flower, and I thought how marvelous life is. Now, I don't think that flower was planted there intentionally, but the seed came from someplace. And the seed had power in it to bring life out of nothing. In the parable, the seed of the gospel goes forth and it lands in different places, but it yields a harvest among some, a harvest that is 30, 60, or 100 times greater than what was to be expected. Now, we live in a day and age when seeds are genetically modified and manufactured. So maybe tremendous results like this are not uncommon among our farmers today. I don't know. But in the first century, a farmer who planted a seed could expect a harvest of maybe 5-7 times what the seed amounted to. A harvest of 10 times that seed was phenomenal. That was reason for rejoicing. That was a party. A harvest of 30, 60, and 100 times was unheard of, but yet that speaks of the power of the gospel going forth through the ministry of Jesus, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to produce abundant, bountiful, tremendous harvest where we would least expect them. You know, I feel better about this interpretation of the parable. But still, there's something else. The sower. Now, some might say that this farmer was not very smart. He, after all, scattered his seed willy-nilly everywhere. He paid no attention to preparing the land beforehand. In fact, it was tradition in the first century farming culture and communities that you strew the seed, you threw the seed, and then you turned over the soil. But this farmer paid no attention to where he was going to plant the seed. He just threw it. And he trusted that wherever the seed landed, he would take root. I think that's the point of the parable. That God is a sower who scatters the seed of the gospel. He just throws it. Out of His grace, He just throws it. Out of His love, He just throws it. And He knows that in some it's going to take root. This parable is about the extravagance of God's love and the extravagance of God's mercy. One who came to die and save lost sinners, of whom all of us are among, and He just scatters His love willy-nilly, with no care for where it goes. I moved by the fact that the gospel is for all people. It is for the rich and the poor. It is for Uruguayans and it is for West Africans. It is for the Romani people who are persecuted and ostracized throughout Eastern Europe. It is for persecuted Muslims. It is for Buddhists. It is for all. God showers His grace. He throws His grace upon the world, begging the world to respond, to receive it, and to share it. You see, because not only is God the sower, but in this parable, I believe we too are called to be sowers. Because we have experienced the gospel in our lives. Because we understand that the gospel, that the kingdom of God is going to exist side by side with the rest of the world until such a time that God says enough and He comes and He establishes kingdom in all of its fullness. But until then, you and I are sowers. We're farmers. So where are we scattering our seed? Are we scattering it freely, widely, broadly? Wherever we are, with whomever we come into contact, or are we allowing circumstances and situations and threats and the world around us to keep us back, to hold us back from sharing that seed of the gospel? What kind of sowers are we today? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.